It is Monday, April 8, 2013. This is the 2013 NAMCON Outreach Subcommittee Meeting Work Session. This meeting is taking place in Function Room 11 at the International Beijing Hotel.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 10 past the top of the hour in Beijing, and this is the nominating committee outreach meeting, which is the first of the public, a very transparent and somewhat new experience for us all in NomCom, to run an outreach meeting, which is basically a subcommittee, but to do it in the goldfish bowl. My name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, and I have a number of NomCom around the table, all of whom can introduce themselves as they speak. I don't think there's any point with so few public in the room going through the, dare I say, facade of introducing ourselves to ourselves. This is an open meeting, therefore I will remind you about the matters of confidentiality, that what we are discussing here is in principle and practice and in no way to reflect on any individual past or future that may be applying for our positions. If and when the light and magic show begins, we do have some visual aids, which is probably a very good thing, otherwise you'll be really bored with my dulcet tones, and I'll do a little bit of filibustering in the first instance while we still try and get that together. One of the key points of today's thrill-packed and exciting now 40 minutes, which I'm aiming to probably kick out at 30, because we could all do with 10 minutes more in our life at the end of this hour, and I don't see that there's much point belabouring all of this, is going to hear from Stefan and Adam a little bit of feedback from their interaction with OB, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. With this, it would appear that we actually have the wonderful world of Adobe Connect rooms and similar things open. And so anyone who is following this remotely, she says, in an idealistic world that might be happening. But certainly for the record, and there will be a record of this meeting, we now are on the beginning slide. We know, obviously, who we need to, what jobs we need to fill. We have in our to-date monthly meetings shared with us with each other some of the small outreaches that each of us have done, but there have been some things sent to the list that if you are at the table, I would like you to bring forward and give us a little bit more information. If you want to scroll down to the next little bit there, Joette, just slide, next slide. We'll just look at the positions, okay. Just so for the sake of the transcript record, we know what we're after this year. We're after three members of the Board of Directors who will be serving a three-year term. We are after three members of the At-Large Advisory Committee, known as the ALAC, one each from Africa, from the Asia, Australia and Pacific Islands region, and from the Latin American and Caribbean regions, and they are two-year terms. We are looking to two members of the Council of the Generic Names Support Organisation, the GNSO. They are two-year terms. We are looking for one member of the Council of the Country Code Names Supporting Organisation, that is the CCNSO, and we should note when we're doing our outreach that that is for a three-year term. And we are currently looking at a deadline for acceptance of statements of interest from people to fill these important leadership roles by the 1st of May 2013. Sling along to the next slide. Just in case you've all forgotten, we're in that pink bit called the candidate application period, and of course the individual work we've been doing locally is a very important part of the outreach, but I think we should share at this meeting for the record any future plans or possibilities that we might have. If there's opportunity, for example, that may in fact reflect more on next year's capture of people for the nominating committee, that would be, I think, worthwhile. I flagged with John Jeffries that I want to have a chat with him on what he thinks is an appropriate time for activities deemed as outreach to happen for the 2014 cycle. He and I'll sort that one out. I'll let you know who wins later. But one can assume that we might plan on starting a little earlier for our following year on our outreach. For example, we all would identify the Internet Governance Forum that is coming up as an ideal piece of resource that we should be mining for talented material. And so I think if we have time today, we might do a little crystal ball gazing and see if there's some clear opportunity for a little bit of future work as well. If we can pop across to the next slide, which I believe is something all of us are very aware of, but one of the things I found, let me give you a personal example. This morning we had around 75 or 80 women worth knowing. The Women in DNS breakfast was held, and we did distribute these very useful little cards. And Joette, do we have a pile of these somewhere here? Okay. Hypothetically, they exist, and at one point in the not-too-distant future, if those of you who don't have them shall probably get them. I have some extras I will find, and we might distribute at one of the meetings later. But, I mean, I lost, you know, two-thirds of that pile today, which is great. We should be encouraging people to not only consider themselves, but obviously consider other people. And I tended to give at least women in the breakfast meeting this morning who I knew were key decision makers and influencers in their regions or their countries, states and territories, a pile of them, and suggested that they go forth and not multiply, but bring back the necessaries. What we need to do, however, is make sure anyone who believes they have candidate potential for the board of directors understands this baseline. We all do, but I think we probably could do with that almost on a bookmark or a simple little postcard. I'd like you to come up with a tool, perhaps, that we could just get that information out. And, you know, maybe I'm looking towards Veronica and obviously Glenn over there to do something smart. Tomorrow will be fine. Next slide. I mean, we can get local printing, that's not a problem. Now let's get down to the thrill-packed and exciting stuff, which is the next slide. And that's beautiful, but yep. It's not the next slide. And keep going. This is more. Don't mind which way we go as long as we end up there. The pathway is not the problem. The destination is the issue. Okay, what we will be looking at now, and Adam, is it you or Stefan who's going to throw? Okay. As you all know, it's not just our own personal outreach and those that we can facilitate. There's also been some exciting things happening, and I'm going to toss it over to you to hopefully eventually get some material as well up on screen.
Good morning, Adam Peake, NomCom member, and I will talk about what we're doing for director recruitment in particular. One of the things that's been spoken of a lot by the community is, well, of course, the nominating committee has two particular tasks. One is to find candidates. We recruit candidates, and that was shown in the pink stage of the milestone slide that was on earlier, and then we are a selection committee. But we're in the recruitment stage at the moment, and one of the suggestions is that as well as the nominating committee members doing recruitment, we also use a professional management consultant that has that particular job. And we're using a company that contracts with ICANN for other work, is a global firm, well known. I don't know if we're mentioning the name, but we might as well. But no, we're not. And at this moment, but it will be in the final report. They are helping us seek people with experience at director level. And so Stefan and I have been meeting with them. The contract is very favourable. As I said, they have experience finding people for staff positions within ICANN, so they are aware of the organisation and how the organisation works, which is always one of the challenges when you're trying to find people to be interested in ICANN. And what we have on the slides are the set of criteria or candidate what are they called here? Ideal candidates will combine as many of the following elements as possible. And these elements have come from discussions with the community over a period of years, particularly from the accountability and transparency review team process, also from the board governance committee and various other meetings. And so I think Stefan can quickly go through them. We won't go through each one because there's about four pages of them in detail. But one of the things we need to do is continually update the sort of characteristics, the profile that we're looking for. And we need the community to keep providing feedback on the type of skills that you think are necessary in a director candidate. So, Stefan, if you want to quickly address those.
Well, let me just... hi, everyone. This is Stefan van Gelder, also a NOMCOM member. And as Adam said, one of the team of two people that went to see this recruitment firm and negotiated and talked with them and trying to understand both what they needed and explaining, more importantly, what the NOMCOM is looking for in a very tight time frame, because as we've said earlier on and the previous slides showed, we have theoretically until May the 1st to receive SOIs to have candidates come forward and send things in so that we can consider them. So we felt it was very important not only to rely on our individual outreach efforts and abilities, but also to get professional help in. And you see on the slide up in on the screen in front of you, we had a set of criteria that we looked at and that we... I won't go into the detail. They're on the slides. There's no point in me reading a slide out, but I do want to explain the process which we used to... talk to the recruitment firm and get them to understand what we needed to do, but also to get us to understand what they're looking at. And some of the feedback that we've got from them, which I think is interesting, is first of all, we discussed in general terms the amount or the level of knowledge that the outside world has with ICANN. So obviously when you're going out trying to recruit for leadership positions as important as board positions, you have to convince people, it really has to work that way, you have to convince people that it's an interesting gig and something they want to be involved in. And don't forget, we're looking at some high-level possible recruitments. We're trying to get as much high-level help into ICANN as we can. So this professional recruitment firm has helped us in determining things like how well-known is ICANN? Is the compensation package that is now available to board members something that helps in this recruitment effort? How complicated is the environment they'll have to deal with? And I'm sure we all agree that ICANN is a complex environment that can be daunting to people. Obviously, the time commitment is very important to define, and it is a heavy time commitment. In the environment of, you know, if you're going out and reaching out to possible board members, the feedback that we got was, I mean, there's different norms in different countries, but for example, in England, compensation levels are quite high, much higher than what's on offer at ICANN, but the time commitment is much lower. So maybe, you know, about a week per month tops. So we are faced with those difficulties. We're faced with the difficulty of making people understand why it's an interesting thing to do in the context of them, you know, potential board members. And I'm not sure you said this, Adam, but we're only using the firm for board positions at this stage. In the context of that, you know, trying to get people on board with those sets of circumstances. So in my mind, it's been very, very useful to work with professionals, have them guide us. We obviously have yet to see what kind of candidates they will produce. It's a bit early in the day for that. I just want to also point out in closing that the meetings that we've had with this firm, that they were based in Brussels, so we went to, Adam and I went to Brussels. We also took time out during that day that we spent in Brussels to meet with some of the groups that are obviously based in Brussels, which is an important place for the internet and for policy making in general. So, for example, we met with one group, and out of that We've also had some outreach requests. The latest one that came in last week from the Federation of European Publishers, asking us for the criteria to submit an SOI to the NomCom. So, there's been some good outreach work there that we're hopeful will yield results and help feed our pool of candidates. Thank you very much.
Okay, Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record, if and when one exists. Thanks for that. I would like to suggest that if there's any questions to be opened, we do that now. So, Wada?
Waldo Siganga. Just asking a quick one. One day we have set a target of the number of candidates that the company in Belgium, in Brussels, is to get for us.
There's no specific target, but they are performance-based. So what we've done is arranged a set standard sort of contract in an engagement fee, and then the more candidates that they give us, for each candidate, they get a sum of money for each candidate that they provide for us. So there's no limit, but the more they provide, the more they receive. So performance-based.
And then just one more.
With a qualifier to that, because it's not just they cannot provide 100 or so, but those that proceed to the next step, they get compensation for.
Okay. Then the last question is: what guidelines have we given them with regard to getting candidates from different regions?
We've explained the regions that we're, we have the basic bylaws requirements, which are that there must be at least one director from each of the five regions and not more than five. We've emphasized certain regions are underrepresented in our view and have been underrepresented. And we specifically identified Eastern Europe and Africa as being targets for this year. They are a global firm, so we can be hopeful of that. But our general brief was anybody who is of the caliber that you think is appropriate, but if you can find somebody from Eastern Europe or from Africa, then we would be particularly pleased.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to add, perhaps, that all the criteria has been determined for all our criteria have been predetermined for us anyway, so it was pretty simple for us to go into the meeting and explain those. What then became more interesting, I was going to say challenging, but really I should say interesting, in the conversation, is their take on those criteria and which ones would be problematic for them. That one wasn't. They fully understand it because they do have experience of ICANN. But some of the others, including the SOI, interestingly enough, perhaps that should be mentioned. We had some back and forth with them because the SOI for them was a problem. They could not see themselves asking high-level candidates to fill in an SOI. So we explained that it's a standard for the NomCom and that it would be difficult to step out or step back from that. And in the end, reached the compromise that we've explained for the NomCom. But as this is an outreach meeting, we do have a process. I'm not sure I want to go into the details of it, but we have set a process that allows the NomCom to, say, initially vet a pool of candidates and then SOIs can be drafted in. So we found a good solution for that, but it was an interesting thing to see that, things that we might lose sight of when we're all focused on our own personal NomCom business to the outside world could be a problem.
And again, very quickly, just to say SOI statement, I can see a couple of people in the room who aren't nominating committee members, so an SOI is the statement of interest form, and that's basically the application form. It's an online form, and you can imagine it's rather ICANN oriented. So for somebody who's coming from outside of the community, what we've found is that a recruiter is saying this will be a sort of hurdle for them, because it's okay for those of us who are inside ICANN, we know what we're talking about, but the outsiders, it's a bit of an obstacle. So it was quite an interesting thing for us to learn. We get a little bit narrow-minded, I suppose, because we're so used to ICANN, and we forget that there's an outside world sometimes. But it's the outside world we're trying to bring in. So we're learning.
Wow, the outside world.
Mmm.
So there is
They do, in fact, need to know how to spell internet, however. Yeah. Over to you, J. Scott.
I just wanted to take this opportunity on the record. This is J. Scott Evans from Yahoo and IPC representative on the NONCOM to thank both Stefan and Adam for all their hard work. This has not been an easy, it's arduous. The negotiations were arduous. Going through and sort of being dealing with the SOI issue and all the issues that you've had to do, but you've always come back to the committee with sort of an executive summary of everything that has made it expeditious for us to understand what's going on. And I want to express my personal thanks and the thanks of the committee to each of you for the very hard work that you've put into this particular project.
Ron.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted, Ron Andruff, for the record, BC member, wanted to bring up something that we discussed this morning, but not all of the members of the committee were here at the time, and that has to do with the fact that the search firm, and ourselves included, cannot approach government employees. That's part of our bylaws. But I was aware, it was brought to my attention that the search firm had gone back to one of the CEO candidates who had was a government employee, so we just want to make sure that we get that message back to them that those are off limits if that's not already been passed. Thank you.
That's a useful thing to add. Thanks, Ron. I might suggest, though, that the NOMCOM has recruited government employees in the past, and when it has, they have made sure they step away or step down before joining. Obviously, Bertrand de la Chapelle is a good example of that. So, we're working not to exclude anything up front, but try and make sure that we get the right candidates and then work out the problems. Obviously, if it's someone that's on a career path in government and can't step down, then that should be brought up straight away so we don't waste time.
Yeah, Cheryl, for the record, I think we need to pick that currently representational role, currently employed in. I mean, this is exactly the resource space that we need to be looking, but they need to know very clearly that there's a delineation. So if you're end of your 30-year career and you've run a department, well, hey, you pick a whole lot, even if you were, for heaven's sake, a politician. it is possible that you may have some of those skill sets, but not while you are in a current representational role. So their prior planning needs to dovetail with our current needs. Over to you. Yep, cool.
Thanks. Yes, Chris Chapler from the Business Constituency. First of all, thanks very much for holding an open meeting. So I came along out of curiosity, and I must just say for the record, a bit disappointed that after sort of hearing banging on the door to have an open meeting, I don't see that many NOMCOM people here, but never mind. You've got to start somewhere, I suppose, so thank you for that. The other just quick point I was going to make on the report that Ron sent round to the business constituency, and I noticed in it there was talk from the last meeting about going back to the fellows, and I just wanted to add that I thought that was quite a good idea, because obviously some of the fellows over the years have moved up and they'll know people. The thing that just brought me to the table, just to ask the question, talk of an SOI, is that the same SOI that I know of from the GNSO working groups, or no, it's a non-com SOI, is it? Yeah.
It's a very, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, Chris, it's a very complex series of questions that are asked about background and references and many things like that, and I think that's that the level of candidates we're going are not used to filling out any sort of document when they're considered for a position. That's not something they do at that level. Unfortunately, it's baked into the DNA of our process. And so I think that they've just said that that's a little bit of a hurdle. But we, thanks to Adam and Stefan, worked out something where we can still have those candidates, that pool of candidates available, and yet at some point fulfill the need to have the SOI filled out. So we've overcome that hurdle. I think we were just all surprised that that would be a hurdle at all.
Olive, and then I want to go to you, unless there's someone else in the queue. Go ahead.
Just continuing along the lines that this is all of Nordling I can staff, but just to continue responding to Chris's question. Well, an SOI in this context for the NOMCOM is a statement of interest, and it's the same name as is used for declaration of interest in the GNSO. But here it's the application form, quite simply. But we just happen to call it, so they're confusingly similar. Sorry about it.
We need Put them in the clearinghouse.
We need a work group on variance is what we need. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Biran Gillen, I'm a second-time fellow, also representing the IT Association of the Gambia. I just wanted for you to clarify for me, if you're a current government employee, is it just applying for the board position that you're restricted, or is it for all the positions that are currently available?
Board only. The other positions are not an issue. All, to my knowledge, all of the support organisations or the advisory council, the at-large advisory council, the committee, would require you to fill out what Chris was raising, a normal statement of interest which says I am employed by and currently work on and have commercial relationships with and am representing once you are in those roles. But it is unfortunate that we have this terminology, but yes, it's only the board that's an issue.
If you're not a nominating committee member, you'd like to see the statement of interest. The NOMCOM website follows the usual ICANN formula of, you put the committee name and then ICANN.org. So we're NOMCOM.ICANN.org. And then if you do /apply, the word apply, you end up at the statement of interest form and you can see what it is. You don't have to complete it all, of course, but you can see it online and see the sorts of questions that are there.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Leon Felipe from Mexico, also a second-time fellow. And, my question is, it might be a silly question, but still I want to raise it. I would like to apply for the LACRALO position, but I don't belong to the LACRALO, so I have to be admitted first to the LACRALO, or should I just apply directly?
Let me have you rest assured. The fact that you are not a current serving member in LACRALO may in fact be in your favour, because if you want to think in terms of nomenclature in other business spheres, what we are doing is appointing independent directors, and we are appointing independent council and committee members. So it's actually, in my totally biased view, a preference for you to not be. Now, I've served in the at-large advisory committee, and with very few exceptions, those NOMCOM appointees, and that's five, out of the 15 are appointed by the NOMCOM, who churn through the at-large advisory committee, with very few exceptions, they have then become very involved. They are treated as executive within the region, but they maintain the independence. So, no, it is not a problem. It's more of an enabler than otherwise. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to give you another example, I think that's an excellent question, and it's probably one that we often overlook. What we're recruiting for is people that aren't part of the groups we're recruiting for. I'll give you another example. The GNSO Council is a complex group that with a structure that promotes through two houses people from existing ICANN groups, such as the registrars or the intellectual property. Or the business constituency. The three NOMCOM appointees, NCAs as we like to call them, are supposed to be from outside those spheres. That the point of them coming in is to provide that viewpoint that isn't from the standard GNSO makeup. So a good question and one that we probably forget to highlight.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, this was Stefan van Gelder for the record.
And this is Cheryl for the record, and thank you very much for that question, because that's an oversight that won't happen again. We always live and learn. Please go ahead.
Cyrano Shvardanyan, NOMCOM representative from AP Rallo region and fellowship alumni. And I'm so happy to see fellows here who are interested in those positions, because usually this is the group of people who are really talented. They are from developing countries. and they bring new blood to this whole bunch of family. But and this is what we are looking for. And I really would encourage, I had the pleasure to share this information with fellowship mailing list, and I would encourage again to share this information among fellows because they are really a good part of candidates who can apply for those positions. Thank you for being here.
Thank you indeed. Are there any other burning questions on this particular presentation or now in general? If not, I want to close off. Oh, J. Scott, yes, go ahead.
The only point that outreach that we discussed this morning, and I'd like to bring it up again, is that I think we need to develop a consistent themed message. We need to have a long version and the elevator speech version. For those of you in not American parlance, I apologize for using idioms of the American culture, but what I'm talking about is to have a very 30-second to 3-minute talk. You could do it like at a cocktail function or at a coffee break, but then also to have something more. But it needs to be consistent so that we are all sending out a very consistent message. And I just think that's what good companies do when they do PR, and I would like us to do that. I think we're getting to a critical time. We're going to get a lot of questions, and we need to make sure we're all on the same page.
Hear, hear to that. There's a show for the transcript record. Olive, go ahead.
Responding to that, Olaf Nordling, ICANN staff. We do have the one slide and three slide versions, which we could perhaps tweak a little in order to satisfy that particular need.
Yeah, I think that's great when we're saying yes, we'll pick up a speaking position at a dinner or doing a little presentation. But I need something that sits in there. I need a URL or something that sits in there, and you do the 3-minute while you're having a libation and a sandwich, and then you're moving on to someone else, and you've left them with that. And I found this card at least serves that purpose, as the bookmarks did to some extent. And what I alluded to earlier about little prior planning for next year is I think we need to get ahead of the game and get these unified messages and everything designed now. And we could perhaps use them if they get done in time. And if not, we'll be ahead of the game as well. I'd like you to take a moment now, if you're completed with that, and Stefan and Adam, thank you. I want you to start thinking smarter. We've all mentioned, you know, where we've been, what we've done. You know, I had breakfast this morning with some great ladies. I popped down to Canberra at a launch of another gender-specific thing and, you know, tried to pick up people from Hong Kong, Singapore Bank and all that sort of stuff. And we need to remember that there's a number of levels we're pitching at. We are pitching at the senior executive and above level, and we also have those advisory committee and support organisations, and that doesn't mean they can't be in the C-suite. In fact, it might be nice to have people from that level. But we do need to remember that it's not just about the governance roles. These are diverse leadership positions. And when we're talking to people, one of the things I think we need to think about is to ascertain their expectations, ascertain how much time they have to commit. There is a lot I think we could do to make this more attractive. But we also need to be shameless and steal from anywhere we can. To that end, there's a puddle of resource that ISOC now has its hands on. They have had a particular process. Their NomCom is at the completion of its process. They have 3 slots to fill, and they have a larger puddle that applied. So I've had a word to Lynn, I've had a word to, I mentioned it on the list, but before this meeting ends, we will have a way for either ISOC to send them the opportunity to come to us, or for us to somehow directly contact them, because these are people who have already shown interest in leadership positions in another ISTAR organisation. Can you all think and take the opportunity to share of any similar sorts of resources? You know, we're after mining people. It doesn't have to be first person. It could be an opportunity that we hear about and we can send someone in proxy. But that's an example. They've already gone through the process. They've got some talent. we can tap into it, and we'll find a way to do that. So open the floor on that discussion.
Yeah, in similar vein, internet society, so ISOC, I have a note for myself to actually contact the internet chapters, internet society chapters, who they're not necessarily people who've applied for leadership positions, because Cheryl's talking about people who've applied for the board of trustees of the internet society, but you know, the chapters are a global set of organizations. There's about 100 of them around the world, I think, and they have a quite similar view of the world. The members have a quite similar view of the world to people who participate in ICANN. So they're a good group for us to outreach to. I think quite a few of us are probably members of Internet Society chapters. So I will contact their director of chapters and see if we can get some outreach to them by the end of the week. Yeah, they'll be very pleased. But anyway, we'll do that. And that's one thing I quickly want to do is just say that, of course, we focused on these slides to the directors because we were talking about the relationship we have with the management recruitment firm, and they're only working on the directors. On the nominating committee website, we do have profile from the CCNSO about the characteristics of somebody for the CCTLD organization. So if you go to that, you can see what we're looking for there. And there's a document called Leadership Positions, which describes the sort of skill sets that we were looking for the at-large, for example, or for the GNSO and so on. You know, the at-large is user-oriented, as you know, and then the GNSO tends to be for the policy wonks, like him. People who are particularly interested in the hard policy lifting of the ICANN world. But all of those documents are on the website, so there's a lot of descriptions about the kind of profiles we're looking for, and not just the directors that we've sort of focused on today.
Please, go ahead then.
Biran Gillen again here. I just have a suggestion. Maybe you should also look at the regional representations for the Internet Governance Forum groups, possibly in... That would be a good
excellent, and in fact, not just stop there, but there's a number of regional and national internet governance forums now, and we need to tap into all of those. And that's, of course, something that doesn't just fit in that time course. If we roll back, show it to that that dreaded time course of where we are and where we'd like to be. I'd like to be having coffee, but that's not going to happen. That's a necessity for any given year, but there's no reason why we can't try and get ahead of the game. And I think that's where these suggestions, because these other ISTAR activities just don't neatly convene when we want them to. But we do need to... It's very hard to get someone excited about a position that they can't apply for until it's six or 9 months down the track. So we need to almost find some customer relationship management way of tapping these individuals and then going back and re-tapping them when it's closer to the time. And that, for any of you who will be serving through from this year with great probability of being with us next year, that's an expectation I'm going to be setting, so get used to it. I also wanted to mention to you that, as far as we are aware, unless things have changed, the numbers we have in at the moment, tracking on previous years, is a little down on what we'd want, and that is, correct me if I'm wrong, can you give us a bit of a span on is it mainly the SOs, or what are we missing in our current puddle?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank Chair to chairing this subcommittee meeting. Yrjö Länsipuro, the chair of NOMCOM, and Adam and Stefan for tackling this question with O and B. We are basically, I wouldn't say that we're missing any specific categories but generally speaking, our candidate pool right now is significantly smaller. It used to be at the comparable time last year or many years back, as long as we know, so that we need to do during this meeting all we can to get more people to apply And actually that applies to all categories, not only the board, but all.
Yoro, I have a question. This is J. Scott Evans for the record. I know you're saying our pool is down. I would be interested to know whether the number of people who were in the pool last year, if the numbers are tracking similar to those who have decided that they would like to be considered again. Is that number consistent with previous years? You know,
yeah, we have from 1911 to 1912 about 10, more than 10, yeah.
So is the number this year bigger? Because that could be why the pool seems significantly different.
It's less. There was a lot of people from the previous year that just haven't applied for some time, and they decide not to apply anymore. That's some feedback I got from some of them.
Stefano and Ron. Say to Ron.
Thank you very much, Stefano. Appreciate it. As I'm listening to all of this, what occurs to me is a couple of points. One is, for those of you who have not heard of it, there's a...
And then the next NOMCOM starts from the scratch. I can understand why that requirement is placed, because every NOMCOM is an independent creature and should not be influenced by anything that went before. But what we lose is, of course, this institutional memory. We lose this possibility of you know, carrying over candidates from year one to year two. And the other thing that relates to outreach is that actually when there is this gap, we lose important opportunities for outreach. Like, for instance, IGF itself, International Governance Forum, which is in October, November, and falls between the two stools here. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, note, quickly, to Chris, to Adam, back to Vanda, and then to Veronica.
Thanks, Cheryl. Chris Chaplow from the BC. Ron, thanks for the... just sparked a memory of mine with the OEB there. But in parallel to that, we've also got the Speakers Bureau, which is part staff and it's just sparked my mind because I've got an event that I'm speaking to at the local Chamber of Commerce next month. And actually, it'd be quite nice that in the 20-minute presentation to almost have an advertising break or something and wake everybody up and saying, and by the way, there's some positions that you could apply for. Lynn has uploaded some slides into the community wiki for the Speakers Bureau, so it might be also to talk to her or put some non-com slides up there as well for download.
Thank you. That's a given. We've stolen that idea. Do you need attribution? No? Okay. Adam?
Yes, just very quickly. Adam Peake, I think for the people who are not nominating committee members in the room who might be applying, if you're not successful this year, emphasising this point that you will have a good chance next year. The skill sets change, ICANN's world changes, and it is well worth continuing for a couple of years because it really is an opportunity. You know, we see people who are not successful one year and they are selected the next. Outsiders don't see that because the nominating committee is confidential, but I can assure you it does happen, and that's very important. And for the nominating committee, it's also important to remember that if you were on the committee last year, look at them afresh, because they may actually, you know, you may want to rethink them again. Don't just judge what you thought last year. Think again, because it's quite important to do that.
Vander, very shortly. Yeah. Sorry, I've cut you off.
That's all right.
Just to remember last year we sent a personal letter to each one that was not and discontinued, not, selected. And that's why we get some feedback, explain why they decide to apply or not decide to apply and so on. So it's important to continue to do that, because it's a history that you can use also to convince people to continue to apply. Thank you.
Go ahead, Veronica.
Thank you, Cheryl. Veronica Kretzu, NOMCOM member. A couple of comments, observations. Providing positive feedback on the applications that were not successful, I think it's crucial, because this will indeed contribute to a next year more positive attitude ahead. Adam mentioned the underrepresented regions, and Eastern Europe is one. Just briefly wanted to share with you that at the regional level, there are some ongoing efforts related to open government agenda, which is something I'm very much part of. We have a project with Transparency International, and I did some outreach efforts early in March. The World Bank does also have a very broad community of practitioners on open government, open data, and all this is very much linked to the ICT and internet. So a week ago in DC, there was an important event during which some outreach efforts were also done. In Moldova, we are going to have next week Moldova ICT Summit, which is going to bring more than 2,000 participants, including from the regions. So I will need more cards for that purpose. Yeah. So the key point is that I'm trying to look at communities of practitioners who are not that directly linked with ICT as such, but use ICT as a means. So open government and open government partnership is that community that I'm looking at the moment. Hope this will bring some results at the end of the day.
And shaking those sorts of trees may not bear fruit this time, but if we continue to do it, it will. Veronica, thank you for your good ideas, which we, of course, have now stolen and will be institutionalised into the activities of the NOMCOM forevermore. Thank all of our guests, and I'm delighted to see that we actually got some. Thank you. We were a little worried that if we built it, you wouldn't come. This is a first. I hope you appreciate the fact that you were part of a first, but I also want to thank the hardworking, and I don't think anyone until they've been in it realises how hardworking NOMCOM and the leadership of your NOMCOM as well. I will indeed say that there is more outreach through the week, and I was going to give the final word to our chair to tell everybody what we're doing next. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you. The open meeting of the nominating committee entirely is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Room 5BC, yes. So please come. I mean, that is the historical first, as was this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Tech. The recording is now completed.